Hey everybody, the Bible says a merry heart does good like a medicine, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So let's start out like this. Where there once was only hurt, he gave his healing hand. Where there once was only pain, he brought comfort like a friend. And I see the sweetness of his love, piercing my darkness. And I see the bright and morning sun as it ushers in his joyful gladness. He's turned my morning into dancing again. He's lifted my sorrows. I can't stay silent. I must sing, for his joy has come. Take it, Brian. And all my hope and faith to only a King of all kings. Do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything? Only a God like you could be worthy of my praise. And all my hope and faith to only a King of all kings. Do I bow my knee and sing, give my everything? To only my Maker, my Father, my Savior, Redeemer, Restorer, Rebuilder, Rewarder. To only a God like you do I give my praise. Give my praise. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Amen. Thanks for joining me and worshiping along with me. We just released a song recently called Reaching Out, and it's really inspired from the story of the woman with the issue of blood. And she said, if I could just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, if I could just get near Jesus, I know I will be healed. And he invites us to reach out to him in our desperation, in our time of need. So that's the prayer of this song. It just goes like this. I'm reaching out, I'm reaching out, I'm reaching out to you, to the one who heals, renews, restores. I'm reaching out to you, calling out. I'm calling out, I'm calling. Wash away my sin, I'm calling out to you. Love and mercy flows from your presence,
from your presence.
And as I'm drawing close, every broken part of me is being mended, healed and made whole. I'm reaching out, I'm reaching out, I'm reaching out to you, to the one who heals, renews, restores. I'm reaching out to you.
Let's sing a hallelujah like this.
Ooh, hallelujah. hallelujah, I'm reaching out to you. Sing it with me. Yes, ooh, hallelujah, ooh, hallelujah, ooh, hallelujah, I'm reaching out. I'm bowing down, I'm bowing down, I'm bowing down to you. Receive my thanks and reverent praise, I'm bowing down to you.
Let's just sing hallelujah.
Hallelujah, ooh, hallelujah, ooh, hallelujah, I'm reaching out to you, I'm reaching out to you, I'm reaching out to you.
Close to us, God, come near as we reach out to you. Bring your healing, bring your hope anew. Let faith rise up in us, Lord. Restore the joy of our salvation, God, we pray. This is a good verse for right now.
When we walk through life's darkest valley, we will look back at all you have done.
We will shout.
And we will shout. Our God is good, and He is the faithful one.
Sing. We will remember.
We will remember. We will remember.
Well, many, many years ago, I wrote a song called Praying for Each Other. It's just amazing how when we pray for each other, there's a love that builds up for one another. The hate goes away. The unity comes. Just the gift of prayer is such a blessing. And I know my prayer list has gotten longer in this season. And this is just a song of prayer for each other. And it goes like this.
I am praying for you, brother. I bow my knee on your behalf. Speak your name to our God in heaven, that He might grant you grace and favor. And no matter what may ever come your way, in a dark, dark night or any gloomy day, I promise to pray for you, brother.
lift your name before the Father. And I am praying for you, sister. I bow my knee on your behalf. I'll keep believing, oh, that what he started in you will be completed till this life is finally through. And as we share in his grace and watch his mighty hand move those mountains in our life, watch his promises stand. I promise to pray for you, sister. Yes, I will. I'll lift your name before the Father. Cause when we pray for each other, he takes away the hate. When we pray for each other, we can feel each other's pain. When we pray for each other, there's a supernatural love. When we pray for each other, our hearts become as one. And I'll keep on praying for you. Won't you pray for me too? Ooh. Cause when we pray for each other, our hearts become as face to shine on us. Oh, till all have seen in her the glory of your word, Lord, shine on us. Yeah. We're praying for city, yeah. We're praying for this land. We're praying for the nations, every woman, every man. We're praying, praying for revival, for the lost, for the poor. We're praying for our churches. Let your spirit be outpoured. Oh Lord, we're praying for even more. Thank you.
So I'm Jonathan. I'm the director of the Prayer and Pantry here at Christian Assembly. We've been working this ministry since basically last April. We have our lot fill up here on Friday evenings once a month. Car will pull up. They'll get groceries put in their trunk by our grocery team. Aside from that, we do have a pedestrian walk-up table where people will line up and come and receive a bag. So we're doing the same thing there. But ultimately, what we're really trying to do is to just connect with people and let them know that Christian Assembly is here for the community, Los Angeles, and for our congregation.
This is probably one of the most rewarding things I've ever been privileged to do. When you see the lines of people standing, waiting for food, it just breaks your heart. So you want to do what you can to help. So when CA started the Prayer and Pantry program, there was no way I wasn't gonna participate. And it just blessed me in and out. And people that I know that I talk to, I tell them, not only are you blessing the people that need the food so desperately, you're getting blessed yourself by being able to participate. It's a blessing. It's a privilege. The Lord has allowed you to be the giver. If you can possibly contribute either a couple of bags or a whole bunch of bags, do it.
I became involved with the CA Food Pantry because there's so much need, even in this area. We've created teams, multi-generational, and we've got a great community here. Everybody comes together, we get to know different generations. There's a bunch of Fusion people, the kids that come in and help out and do a lot of the running, which is just awesome.
We have been praying for lots of people at the Food and Pantry, and some of the people have been from our church, some have been from different churches, and some have never been to church at all. And when we ask them if they would like prayer, some of them have been very wary of that. But then you begin to pray for them, and we had one car with three women in it. We prayed for one, and the next one said, well, come and pray for me too. And then the next one said, well, you have to pray for me. So we ended up praying for the whole car, and everyone was so blessed.
What keeps me returning, just the faithful giving of all the members that donate. It keeps me coming because I see the faces when cars pull up, and they're so grateful.
For me, being here, it's about saying, we are a community that needs reciprocity. In the midst of this, this person might need food, but I might need to learn a little bit about somebody else's life who is from a different culture, a different ethnicity, a different socioeconomic place, and realizing how much that speaks into my soul.
I believe we are the hands and feet of Jesus, and we pray and we do things within the walls of this church, but it's so tangible getting outside the walls of this church.
Seeing the way that God is using your generosity to gift and to bless others has been life-giving to me. Though we provide food is a great need, but the most important thing is spiritually praying for people, watching people well up with tears, how grateful people are, I think is the most powerful thing that we're doing through the pantry and prayer. Being available spiritually to nourish those who are in need. God bless you as you continue to serve and give.
It's so great to hear about our pantry and prayer efforts. This coming week, you can donate groceries on either Monday or Wednesday for our next scheduled pantry and prayer on Friday, February 19th. Go online for more information and specific details. Well, welcome everyone. I'm so glad that you've joined us today, and a special welcome to any guests and visitors who are joining us. In our next digital discipleship, we will be focusing on reasons to believe starting this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We will be studying topics such as creation, fulfilled prophecy, the resurrection, and more. So join us online. You can find our digital discipleships on the CA app, our website, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you'd like to give, you can give online through our Christian Assembly LA app or our website by clicking on the Give tab. And thank you for your generosity. Now let's continue in our worship as we hear our sermon for today.
Welcome to Christian Assembly. My name is Bo. I'm so glad that you are joining us today. I want to add a special welcome to any guests or visitors who are joining us for the first time. We're so glad that you are with us. As we begin our time together, I want to ask you to reflect back for a moment. Think back over the course of your life. What were the fashion trends that you committed to during different seasons of your life? When you were 11 years old, what was the fashion you were committed to? For me at 11, it was pure skater. Big baggy jeans, an oversized DC shirt, some big chunky skate shoes on my feet. I was a skater through and through. When you were 13 years old, what were your fashion choices? For me at 13, it was all Tommy Hilfiger. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, it was all Tommy. When you were 16, what were your fashion choices? At 16, for me, Abercrombie. I wore Abercrombie clothes. I wore Abercrombie cologne. I can actually still smell that cologne. Many of you know what I'm thinking about, but it was all Abercrombie. When you were 18, what were your fashion choices? For me at 18, pure emo. All black, a studded belt, long hair, you know, big gauged pierced ears and a lip ring, maybe even a little black nail polish and some guy liner, if I'm honest. The truth is, I worked at Hot Topic and I looked the part. The reality is, for most of us, we change and evolve our style. Very few of us dress the same today as we did a decade ago. And certainly part of that is due to culture. As fashion trends change, what we wear tends to change as well. But I wonder if our regular change in style might have something to do with us wanting to communicate something that we so badly want to be true. We want to believe we can change. I think we express this idea outwardly to battle something that we hear inwardly, which is that we are who we are and we will never change. You see, we want to change, but we struggle to change. So we compensate for that internal battle by making external changes. See, what usually happens is that in our childhood or adolescence, we hear identity statements said to us or about us, and we grab onto them. And if we aren't intentional about it, we just live out these identities for years to come. You're such a slacker. You're so lazy. You're such a liar. You're such a cheater. You're a black sheep. That was it for me. As a pastor's kid who was a boundary pusher and a line stepper, somebody who made some bad choices as a kid and in their teenage years, I grabbed onto this identity that's just who I was. I was the black sheep of my family. I actually remember a moment in my life where I said to myself, I might as well live like the black sheep that I am. Are there statements that you have believed about yourself, even to the point of thinking, this is just who I am, I'll never change? My guess is there probably are. Here's the question I want us to consider today. Is it possible to change? Not just our fashion, but can I change? Am I destined to forever live this life, repeat these cycles, embrace these addictions, or can it be different? Can I be different? I believe God's word will tell us, yes, I can change. And for the next few moments, we're going to talk about how. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you for this time that we have together, and I pray that your word would speak to us. Lord, I pray for people watching this wherever they might be who are struggling with this idea that they can't change, people who feel stuck and trapped. Jesus, I pray that through the power of your word and your spirit, you would speak your truth to us and remind us that we can change. I pray for hope to come to people struggling with this today. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to a church struggling to change. They had a lot of sin in their past. They had bad habits that kept circling around them. They had bad theology and bad teaching that was telling them things that were not true. And they seemed stuck. And to this church, Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. The words new creation in verse 17 are key. We can sometimes have a view that Jesus comes to make us an improved version of ourselves. Like, I was really bad, but with Jesus' help now, I'm getting better. I'm less bad than I used to be. But Paul wants to make it really clear. Jesus isn't in the improvement business. He's in the creation business. The words new creation mean literally that. It's the image of a garment that has never been worn. It's that feeling the first time you wear a brand new shirt or sweatshirt before it's been washed and dried, before it's been stained or faded, before your small children during a meal have reached out for some reason and touched your arm with a hand covered in ketchup or barbecue sauce. It's new. It's unused, it's unworn, it's unblemished. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. They are like the world of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 before the fall, before sin, when the world was created as God intended it to be. If you are in Christ, you are not the image of yourself that you have carried since your childhood. You are not what they might say about you. You are not your past. You are not your mistakes. You are not your likes. You are not your followers. You are not your bad reputation. Even if you have earned that bad reputation, you are not improved. You are not better. You are new. Can you change? Absolutely. How? We are changed, number one, through the work of the Spirit. We have to know that when we believe in Christ, we are changed from the outside of us first, because it's about what Christ has done and is doing by the work of his Spirit. But when we accept Christ, the new creation begins inside of us from the power of Christ by his Spirit. We then work out what Christ has put inside of us, his word and his Spirit. Think of it like this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul writes, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit." Paul tells the church in Corinth that it's not like in the Old Testament. When Moses looks at the glory of the Lord and has to cover his face with a veil to protect the people. Now, because of Jesus, we don't need a veil. When we look at Jesus, we see the glory of God. And get this, it's like we are looking into a mirror and watching ourselves be transformed. Those words are being transformed. In the Greek, they are a passive present verb, meaning it's an action that is presently, currently taking place, and that is being done to you, not by you, but by God. God is doing the active work of transforming you. Transforming you into what? The image of Jesus. By the power of the Spirit of God, you were once one thing, but now you are being transformed into a new creation, one that resembles Jesus. Paul knew all about this. Paul knew what it was like to be something completely different. He was even called something different in his former life. His name was Saul. And in Acts 9, Saul is an enemy of Christ and is persecuting Christians because of their faith. And on his way to Damascus, where he is headed to arrest some Christians, Jesus encounters him. We read about it in Acts chapter 9. It says in Acts 9, as he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting," he replied. "But get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." In this moment, Saul's life is forever changed. Where he was once an enemy of Christ, he now believes. Through this event and the events that follow in the following chapters, Saul is transformed into something new, something different, from persecutor to apostle, from a denier to a believer. And it's because Jesus showed up and changed him. We can't change ourselves into something new through our own power. Maybe we can improve ourselves some. And in my experience, those improvements usually aren't long-lasting, and they certainly don't cause me to become something new. But when you encounter Jesus by the power of God's Spirit, you are changed. You become new. And it is a work that God's Spirit does to us. But there's more. Because while we have been made new spiritually, there is another step to take for us to live the life that God intended for us to live. We are changed, number two, by our commitment to live a new life. You see, God does the supernatural work of making us into a new creation. But we must decide to live the new life that God intends for us to live. You see, to live a changed life, we need both parts. God's powerful work in us and our commitment to do things differently in our lives. We sometimes forget that Jesus came preaching a message of repentance. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." To repent means you turn away from the direction you were going. You make different choices. You build different habits. You say no to things that you once said yes to, but were destroying your life. Repentance is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing decision. I am still repenting from sins in my life because I am still actively choosing to go in a different direction with my life. The good news is that God helps us to make these decisions, but make no mistake, you must make the decisions. How do we live a new life? How do we live a changed life? The clearest answer to that is found in the spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are just the practices of Jesus, the things that he did and modeled and showed his disciples to do. When Paul says that we are being transformed into the image of Jesus, he didn't just mean spiritually. There is a reality where we look at the life of Jesus and we decide to make the way that he lived his life the way that we live our lives. not as a Jewish man in the first century, but if Jesus were you, wearing your Nikes, living your life today, how would he live? What would he do? We started something recently for Fusion, the 18 to 35-year-old community here at Christian Assembly, called The Good Life. And in the Gospel of John, it tells us that Jesus came that we might have life abundantly. He came so that we could live the best life that God imagined for us to live. You see, the good life is found in Jesus alone. And to access and experience that, the good life that he has for us, we lean into the spiritual disciplines, the practices of Jesus. The good life is a year of spiritual disciplines where each month we learn about and practice a different spiritual discipline. Every discipline is seen in the life of Jesus and reproducible in our lives today. I want to invite all of you to join the good life. It's being facilitated through Fusion, our young adult ministry, but it is not reserved for young adults alone. You don't need to be a young adult. You don't even need to live in Los Angeles. We have people from more than 12 different states and 3 countries. We have people from Africa who have signed up for the good life. If you want to learn to live a changed life by committing to the spiritual disciplines, I want to encourage you to sign up and let us know you're joining us. Go to cafusion.com/thegoodlife and sign up for free. We will send you all the resources that we can every month to help you and your commitment to living a changed life through the spiritual disciplines. This is what Saul did after he encountered Jesus. After encountering Jesus, he's taken to Damascus and eventually he regains his sight. And then in verse 19, it says, Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. What was he doing with the disciples? He was learning from them. He was being instructed by them. Before Paul begins preaching about Jesus, he sits and learns from the followers of Jesus. And he learns what it means to be a follower of Jesus himself. He learns how to live a different kind of life, and he commits to it. You see, it's a mistake to think that if God wants me to live a different kind of life, he'll just make me live a different kind of life. God does the deep spiritual work of making you new spiritually. By his help and through his power, we decide that things will be different in our lives. We decide, I'm going to stop living the kind of life that I was living before because that life and that lifestyle belong to a version of me that no longer exists. The old self is dead and gone. I am a new creation, and it's time for my life to match up with that reality. I will build new habits. I will build new disciplines. Oftentimes, it means building new relationships with others who are going to encourage your walk with Jesus, just like Paul spending time with the disciples in Damascus. We are changed by God's Spirit, and then we commit to living a changed life. Finally, we are changed, number 3, for the sake of those apart from God. After spending time with the disciples in Damascus, it says, immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. Saul knew that this new life was not just for him alone, but it was intended to be a sign to the rest of the world that Jesus is the Son of God who rose from the dead. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, after telling the church they were made new in Christ, he goes on to say this: everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See, your changed life is intended to show others what is possible for them. I experienced this recently for myself. As a teenager, I found myself very far away from God for a season. And during that season, I battled a drug addiction and all of the choices and consequences that came from it. Lost trust and broken relationships with family, damage done to everyone close to me, a future at risk and all hope gone. And then I encountered Jesus. He met me in that brokenness and he changed me. He made me a new creation. And once I realized I was made new, I changed my life with God's help. I left a certain friend groups behind because I needed to. I got serious about attending church. I began to serve. I met with my college pastor and he began to show me how to study the Bible. Eventually, I felt a call to full-time pastoral ministry and I went to Bible college. And it was during those Bible college years that I began to ask God to use my story and my past and the changed life that I was living to help others experience his transforming love. Fast forward about 15 years to a few weeks ago. I got a text from a young man that I had known from a few years ago but had lost contact with him. In his late teen and early adult years, he found himself battling a drug addiction that was basically identical to the one that I'd battled as well. And in his desperation, he reached out to me because he remembered years ago, I used to talk about Jesus changing my life. So I called him and we talked and I listened and I sympathized with him. I talked him through detox and I gave him tips that once helped me. We discussed whether or not he thought he might need professional help with this process, and we agreed to begin talking about life with Jesus from this point of addiction forward. And in that moment, as I talked with my friend, the Lord reminded me of the question that I asked him all those years ago, where I asked God, would you use my story? Would you use my changed life to help others experience your life-changing power for themselves? I wonder if you find yourself thinking, is it possible for me to change? Maybe all the voices of your life have convinced you it's not possible. He'll always be like that. She will never change. Would you hear the voice of your Creator and Savior today as he says to you, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. As we close, let me just ask, do you need to make a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life for the first time? Are you ready to be changed and turned into the new creation that he has for you? If you have never done that, he wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to make you new. If you're ready to do that today, you can text the word decision to the number that you see on your screen, and a pastor will follow up with you soon and pray with you. But even now, as you do it, you can say this prayer, Jesus, would you make me new? Forgive me of my sin. I want to be the new creation that you intend for me to be. Would you change my life? He will do that for you today if you ask him. Maybe you know that your current life isn't matching up with the reality that you are a new creation. If so, it is time for you to commit to the changed life. Maybe you need to join us for the good life. Commit to the spiritual disciplines. Find someone, a pastor or a friend, who can begin walking with you to and in the changed life that God intends for you to live. Maybe it's time for you to allow God to use your changed life to change other people's lives. You don't need to know every part of theology or know every answer. The best method I know to see people come to Jesus is the testimony of a changed life. Live a changed life and share your story with others and watch God begin to change them as well. Be encouraged today, my friends. The power of God is at work in you, and He has made you new. He is helping you to live a changed life, and He will use your life and your story for His glory and for the sake of others. Know today, I can change.
Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels. Oh, the love of God. Oh, the love of God. How rich, how pure, how strong, how measureless. Oh, the love of God. It shall forever endure the saints and angels' song. Try with me. Oh, the love of sing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning my song shall rise. Merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God in three persons, blessed. The love of God. How rich, how pure, how strong, how measureless. Oh, the love of God. It shall forever endure the saints and angels' song.
Thank you for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service or would like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address on your screen or text the word decision to the number 52855. And now I'd like to close with this benediction from 2 Peter 1:2. It says, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." God bless you. See you next week.